Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, and welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends. Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 until 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And right now in West Texas, 66 degrees outside, mostly clear skies. I'd like to offer this disclaimer, as always, whenever I begin my my program. And again, I'd like to welcome you to the next phase with Ice and Friends. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. Brief description, this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in our communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income for themselves. In addition to that, our methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments on occasion, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience and the chat room also. If you get a chance to join us in the chat room here at Blog Talk Radio, just go to the search bar, Blog Talk Radio, and type in BLAK space ICZ, and it should get you the relevant information necessary to get you here where I am in the chat room, and we'll be glad to have you there. If you have an interest in improving situations for our youth, stemming incarceration estimates for minority members of this society, reassessing the significance of a spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics, too numerous to mention, too numerous to include. Join us right here as we seek truth on the next phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at 347-945-7040, 347-945-7040, or you can email us at blakicz.1@gmail.com, blakicz.1@gmail.com. We'd like to pass this bit of information along to you. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be only a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics they find interesting. And again, a good friend, Ms. Rabia Ahmed. Also want to mention her organization, SMART, Smart Mothers Are Really Trying, a program in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, designed to assist especially women and their families who've had difficulties in their lives. The program actually aids the women and their families in regaining their social and financial footing. Sister Rabia does considerably more than just talk, and I want to thank her each and every time she has an opportunity to share, and I hope she knows she's always welcome to be right here with us on the next phase with Ice and Friends. And looking at the switchboard, no calls. Looking at the chat room, Chatologist, hey, how you doing there? Dash, no space. How you doing? Welcome to the room, Chatologist. And I'm going to go back and finish with my introductory portion of the program. Sister Indy Declare, I'd like to recommend her show to you daily, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, Mondays through Saturday. And it's very thought provocative, very entertaining and interesting. India, INDIA space DECLAIR. That should get you to our program. And if you type in the search block right here on Blog Talk Radio, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time is when you'll find her on dailies, Monday through Saturday. Sister Navazar, Navazar 1. She's on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think that's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Beautiful show. Very insightful and very entertaining. And also I'd like to mention Miss Quiet Storm. I have to mention Miss Quiet. And that's Navazor, N-A-V-A-X-O-R first, N-A-V-A-X-O-R 1. And that's on Blog Talk Radio. Type her in the search bar, and it'll give you all the relevant information necessary to find her show. And I think that you would be blessed to have an opportunity to sit in with her on her show. Miss Quiet Storm, I want to thank her for allowing me the pleasure being a part of her show the last time I had a chance to, and I can't remember when that was. I'm getting old. I didn't take notes. But we had a good discussion. She talks a lot about relationships and different other issues, abuses, spousal, and children especially. She's very concerned about the youth in the community. And I will do the best I can to ask her and invite her, as well as any of the other individuals that I've mentioned, to come up, on the show and let you have a chance, if you would like to give her a call. But she's on Saturdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 a.m. Mountain Standard, or 11 a.m. Central Standard, 12 noon Eastern Standard. And that's Miss Quiet Storm. And you can reach her phone number, 646-595-4523. And she has a very interesting program. It's community conscious. It's people conscious. A lot of the shows we do seem, I think, sometimes to be exclusive shows, but if you will listen to those shows transcend all kinds of barriers and all kinds of lines of demarcation, previous lines of demarcation. And the shows are just meant to provide inspiration and encouragement, as well as information from our perspective, or at least I hope I can feel comfortable to speak in that regard about the two individuals that I mentioned, three individuals that I mentioned so far, Sister Enya DeClaire, Sister Navazor, and Miss Quiet Storm, MSQUIETSTORM, all one word. Type her into the search bar, and you'll get a chance to give her a good listen to. And she has, her show comes on again, but I can't remember, so you have to look that show up. She has a site. Her site is www.MissQuietStorm, all one word, MSQUIETSTORM.com. I believe I'm right on that. So you can give her a look, and she's also on Facebook as well. And I'll give more information on the other hosts that I've had a chance to listen to. Really appreciate them. I think Dr. Reba's still on. I'm not sure. She may have some archive shows that are very interesting. She approaches life from a spiritual perspective. Dr. Reba Israel. And you can type her in, Dr. Reba, on Block Talk Radio. And also, Brother Alpho. He and I, we have our contrary views sometimes on different issues, but I enjoy talking with him and really appreciate his insight. And also, I neglected to mention Miss Janice Graham and Our Common Ground. And she's Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, JANICEGRAHAM, Our Common Ground. And they've done some very innovative things in online radio. And Brother Alpho, I don't know if you'll ever hear me, but I got a chance to hear you call into the Ed Show the other day. I got a chance to listen to Brother Alpho on the Ed Show the other day. And one of these days, maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that. Anyway, Jay Early also, J-A-Y-E-A-R-L-E-Y, Jay Early, and he has a show, and it's a very interesting show. Gary McCants, G-A-R-Y-M-C-C-A-N-T-S, from a spiritual perspective, he takes a look at life. And there was a brother I got a chance to listen to that's J-A-Y-E-A-R-L-E-Y, Jay Early, and Gary, G-A-R-Y-M-C-C-A-N-T-S. And there's a guy that I got a chance to listen to the other day, and it was very entertaining. The guy's out of Chicago, I believe, Chicago, Illinois, PPC1. And I don't know, I could never get really to where his show, how to find it, but PPC1. That was a very good show. This guy is really up on his politics, and he and I agree on a pretty much, or at least he does attempt to, but I agree with him on most of the things I heard in his room, and I enjoyed it. PPC1, I believe, is how you can contact him. I'll make sure I try to find the show again and get you more information about it. But anyway, I'd also like to throw this out there to you. Keith Olbermann. If you were a Keith Olbermann fan, I happen to be. I disagree with him on some issues, but for the most part, I'm a fan of his. I think he's a pretty good commentator, very assertive. And he's on Current TV now, C-U-R-R-E-N-T TV. And I think that network is owned by Al Gore. And I've gone to that site and looked at some of the information, and it was pretty good. So I plan to continue to frequent that site. Also, I don't have it here. I have it down further in my information about African American News and Issues, AFRICAN, American, AMERICAN, NEWS News and Issues. And it's one of the most widely publicized, internet media for black people in the state of Texas. So I got a chance to talk with Mr. Cloud. I can't think of his first name now. It escapes me, but Mr. Cloud, I got a chance to visit with him. And really, I asked him if he'd come on the show. Hope he will sometime, or one of his representatives. They have a unique perspective also. Anyway, now we'll take a look at some of the goals that we try to pursue on this show. As I said before, one in a million. Okay, I'll be looking for him. One in a million. Let me see. Hey, there you are. Hold up. One in a million. I'm going to put you on right now. You hear me, one in a million?
Yeah.
All right. You turn your box down over there, okay?
Okay.
You got it down?
Yep.
All right, bro. It's good to hear from you. Chatologist told me in the room there, and thanks for her. I don't have two computers, one in a million, so don't ever despair. I'll get back to the switchboard, but what happens is that I have to look at the screen to put up the information that I'm reading, then I have to look back. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So one of these days I'll be a wealthy Republican, and I'll be able to afford me a wealthy black Republican.
I know that's right.
Moron.
I know that's right. So how you been doing, man?
Hey, bro, I'm doing all right. I'm grateful, man. It's been a pretty rough week. They had the fat boy doing a lot of stuff that I'm not accustomed to. But you know what? I climbed a lot of stairs, man. I mean, 16-foot stairs. And it was hard on me, old guy, almost 60, 59 years old, climbing those stairs.
Oh, that's good. That's good for you, man.
You know what? The first week, man, I was about ready to call in, throw in the towel, right? And the next week, it's a little bit easier, so I'm kind of looking forward to this week, maybe.
That's right. And I try to get all the exercise in I can. When I go to a parking lot or a store or something, I park way in the back of the lot just to get a little walk in, you know?
Oh, man, I'm not that enthusiastic.
I got to get... Man, if you saw me, you say he needs to walk.
Nah, bro, I tell you what, you probably look like olive oil beside me.
I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, brother, I tell you what, do me a favor. Don't go away. You know I want you on the whole time, all right?
All right.
Will you hang with me?
Yeah, I'm going to hang as long as I can. We've got a storm
a
warning.
I
hear some horns in the
back. Okay. I tell you what, we'll just stay with you and what's going on. And let me say also that I have met some people, I don't know if you have as well, from New Zealand online. Have you met anybody from New Zealand?
I may have, I hear all those accents. I don't know where these people be from, but,
Yeah, we go to some of the music rooms and play music, and some of the ladies I've met, I've not met any guys, well, a few guys initially, but not lately. Most of them have been the ladies, and they are Maori, let me just say, offer a word of prayer. For the victims of that severe earthquake in New Zealand. And I've these are just casual acquaintances, people you see their nick online and you visit with them a little bit in text and whatnot, and they're very nice people, and I just, you know, pray that that everything's all right with them and their families. I think I last count I've heard was 98 people that
wow.
have perished. And there
wow.
were some people that were buried under the rubble who had their cell phones. And as a matter of fact, I heard there were some, I believe, Japanese students. And they had their cell phones, and they were calling Japan.
Wow.
And yeah, and then Japan would call back to New Zealand. That's the kind of thing they had going on for rescue efforts and so forth.
Wow.
So, yeah, you never know, man, when it's our time for some travesty to occur, you know?
Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So I, you know, and then all the people around the world that have lost, you know, family and everything. You know, God, you know, I claim God because that's all I know, and I've got a lot of friends that don't believe, and a lot of friends that have other higher powers. And I promise you, I'll not knock your higher power if you don't knock mine. You know, and
I know that
maybe,
too. Yep.
You know what I'm saying. And,
yeah, that's the same attitude I got, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Live
know,
and let live.
There we go, yep. Hey, brother, I'll tell you what, I was going to get, man, I had some stuff written up and everything. I was going to get on this, my deal tonight was going to be about belief systems. And one of the things that, since you're here, I get your input on what's happening in Wisconsin. I mean, I know you got to be up on some of that. So how do you, you know, I heard, let me throw this at you because I know where you, kind of where your politics are, and you may throw me off, but I heard a dude criticizing Obama. Obama should be here. Obama should do this. And, you know, so how do you feel about what's going on in Wisconsin with the strikes and so forth? Not strikes, but whatever they call protests, I guess.
Well, you know, being, I don't know, I'm hesitant to say a poor guy, but I'm not just rolling in dough.
I'm with you.
I'm on the side of the union workers. You know, I just grew up in that kind of world where
right.
I identify with unions, and I'm you know, I've always been totally upset that they were able to bust up the private unions, and now they're working on the unions of government workers is just appalling to me.
Right.
I think that's all it's about. You know, it's about taking the power from the people. And now, so far as Obama getting involved, you know, I personally, you know, think he should make some comments about what's going on. But I also, on the other hand, I know Obama is a very brilliant man, and he has information that I may not be privy to. So I trust his judgment. If he's not spoken out on this issue, I'm sure there's a logical reason. Because
right.
I think he's a logical, reasonable man, and I know he's on my side, and
right.
I know he's on the side, you know, and he's a decent human being that cares about people, and I'm sure that he, whatever decision he's making, it's a strategic reason why he's not spoken out, and every time I try to second guess him, I'm always wrong. So I've learned through past experiences not to second guess Barack Obama, because
right.
in the long run, I see that he saw something that I didn't see. I really trust this president, really big time.
Hey, million and one.
You.
My good friend, the friend that I met online, I really like this guy. Me and him, you know, he called in last time, Alpha. Remember him?
Yeah.
He's in the chat room, man. And may I invite you, Alpha? I know you're going to eat us up, man, but give us a call, man. We want to hear that perspective, because I'm kind of hanging with you, one in a million. And here's, I heard a brother call in, and Alpha, I know you were listening that day, because I heard you on the Ed Schultz show. Yeah, I heard, man, Alpha was on there, man, and I heard him on there, and I was like, go, man, go. But this brother called in, and it was Mike Papantonio who was on there. And I like the guy. He's a very astute guy, Mike Papantonio. But these guys, you know, my only deal is this, that the people of Wisconsin, they voted this guy in. You know, that's like committing suicide. You know, they fell for the okie doke. I mean, you know, my default position is don't vote for a Republican, period, under any circumstance. You know?
Yep.
And that way, I figure, like, I can't go wrong.
That's right. You
know, I may get a bad politician, but I just cannot for the life of me, you know, vote for a Republican. Now, the governor, you know, to me, you know, with this prank call this guy pulled off. Did you hear about that? I'm sure you heard about that, right?
Yeah, I think I caught a little bit of it. You know, I've been busy working on some things, so I haven't really been in front of the TV. Did that happen? That happened recently, right?
Right. It was a couple of days ago, I think. Anyway, he called in to the governor and said he was one of the Koch brothers. I can't remember which Koch brother it was. And at first he called and they wouldn't put him through. And then he called back and they put him through. And
he wasn't one of the Koch brothers. He wasn't?
No. It was a report.
Oh, wow.
Blogger.
I'm just asking, what did he? I was waiting for you to tell me, what did he say?
Okay, Dave Alpha said, Dave Alpha, call in, man. Will you? 347-945-7040. I always beg this brother to call. 347-945-7040. I may have to pay Alpha some money, man, because you know his voice is worth a lot of money and everything. So that may be why he doesn't call. Seriously. But anyway, yeah, David, he said it was David Koch, and he was asking the guy some questions, and the governor pretty much, let me just give it my best paraphrase attempt, suggested that he wanted to introduce some less than savory individuals into the mix, for one thing, and create some havoc, He pretty much came out to me, from the best I was able to determine, as he was anti-union. Now, this David Koch guy, I mean the impersonator, was kind of leading him on, and that governor was given, you know, what it boiled down to, in my opinion, was simply that he wasn't concerned about the unions making concessions. What he was concerned about was limiting the potential benefit of the unions for the Democratic Party. Now, to my idea, unions are citizens. And this is what I saw happen in Egypt. Whenever the citizens, they told, you know, the army realized that they were their friend, they were their family. And so they couldn't be a part of associating with doing any harm to the citizens. And what you have is a group of citizens that have formed what they call a union, which is to be a collective representative body, which really literally has not a lot of power, but it has more power than a single voice. What their best benefit is their ability to provide distribution of information, to provide encouragement for others to become a part of the political process, and to provide a means in some instances for a particular political view to be dispersed amongst the citizenry out there. And to me, you know, Alpha has he put in the site, so I, the Buffalo Beast phone call prank. You know, Alpha, I don't know if I know how to play that, man, and I regret that. But I will. What I'll do is I'll try to read it. But you know, I really wish you would provide a little input. I'm kind of new at this as far as knowing how to operate this this program as well as I'd like to. But as time goes on, I hope that I'll become more professional at it. And but anyway, the this guy from the Buffalo Beast called in and purported himself to be David Cope, and as he did so, he governor Walker, Scott, is it Walker? I can't remember what the governor's name is even, but anyway, the governor fell for that ploy. And he began to provide some insight as to what what some of his plans were. But should I say that my estimation of what his plans were not in the best interest of the citizens of. Oh, there you are. He's on the phone. Okay, hold on, brother. There you are. Hold on, just a second. Hey, brother Alpha.
Hey, good evening, Black. How you doing?
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad to see you. You and One in a Million and
so
Ted Allen.
How you doing?
You remember him?
Yeah.
How
you doing?
Doing?
Oh, doing good, my brother. How you?
Just great. I posted the link in there from Huffington Post.
Yeah, I just opened it.
The conversations are 10 minutes long. There are two two screens, and it takes it from the top.
Uh-huh.
Not only is this man, this Governor Scott Walker.
Yeah.
He is, not only is he lying to the people of Wisconsin.
Right.
But he's engaged in some unethical, he's violating some labor laws, he's violating some campaign contribution laws.
Uh-oh.
Now, and they are looking into it, they're calling for it, an ethical committee to look into this. You've got another group out looking to subpoena his phone records and his emails.
Right, because they say
Bill,
if he's been using his office phone or his the phone provided by the government, that he's going to be in violation of that's what you're talking about?
Well, that too. That's just a piece of it.
Uh-huh.
But you've got this governor.
Mm-hmm.
He's caught on tape, first of all. He won't talk to the Democratic senators who are on the lam in Illinois, 14 of them.
Right,
He won't talk to them. He's not budging.
Mm-hmm.
He pushed this off as a budgetary issue. If we don't get our budget house in order, you know, we're gonna face so much of a deficit.
Mm-hmm.
What he fails to tell people is that he gave away over $140 million in tax breaks to the corporations and the people who supported him.
Right, exactly.
Now, if you are facing a budget shortfall, and they've pushed that up as about $3 billion, he's basically put in two years in there, so it can make it look a little, you know,
right.
Just ease it up a little.
Mm-hmm.
But if you listen to this phone call, not only was he so he was kind of like a groupie.
Right.
And the guy said, "David Koch, oh, Mr. Koch, how are you?" You know what? I have seen teenage girls swoon over Elle DeBarge and Michael Jackson and the Beatles, and it sounded the very same as this.
Yeah,
couple.
He did.
But he was so willing to coordinate and share his underhandedness with who he thought was David Koch.
Mm-hmm.
He talked to David Koch, spoke to him, and asked him, "Well, what about sending some protesters in there to mix things up? In short, to start some violence."
Right.
This governor said, "Well, we thought about that."
Oh, no.
Now, I got to tell you. Just imagine if this was Barack Obama talking to
George
Soros.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see where this would go?
Mm-hmm.
But no, this is a governor who is he's the spearhead of this attack on the unions.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, you know, people talk about this president and him playing chess.
Right.
And, you know, while everybody else is playing checkers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's been the opposite because he's been played for the last 2 years. They have bullied him. They have played him. They fired Shirley Sherrod over the fear of what Fox was going to say.
Right.
They caved into the public option. They caved into the stimulus package and the tax breaks rather than jobs for, you know, the American people. His caving has been a big contribution in how we lost the midterms and how the Republicans have come into office. But yet, getting your message out, they haven't gotten that message. They haven't learned a lesson. Every day, how did it go from jobs, 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 where are the jobs, where are the jobs?
Right.
Oh, we got to cut spending, we got to cut spending. And the $61 billion that the Republicans have offered up and their spending cuts will cost 800,000 jobs. Now, that's from the CBO.
Right.
Now, so how do you reconcile yourself in the silence coming from the Democratic side, coming from this president? He's been framed and pushed into this narrative of there got to be spending cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And he says in a March 4th deadline, he will cave. He's already offered up heating assistance for poor. Now, can you answer me a question?
Mm-hmm.
Did the poor put us in this position, the people who need heating assistance? No. Did the teachers, were they responsible for the Futures Modernization Act, Glass-Steagall? Were they responsible for Graham Bliley-Leach? No.
Mm-hmm.
Were they responsible for the dark pools and derivatives that were sold that collapsed our economy? No, they were not. So at some point in time, we've got to reconcile ourselves with these aren't the people who created
right.
The people who created this are still trying to kill the middle class, and they are still trying to kill the people who they shouldn't be attacking at all.
Right.
Black, I've got some unsuspected guests.
No, Alpo, let me tell you, man, you add so much to the dialogue that I really appreciate you giving a call in. You know I do, and you're welcome anytime. So I don't know if you're still here, but you're welcome anytime, Alpo, and I appreciate you calling in.
All right, man.
You take good care. God bless y'all.
All right, take care.
You too. Hey, brother, one in a million. You hear, brother Alpo?
Yeah, you know, and you know, I have no problem with a person's opinion. You know, you know, everybody welcome to their opinion. You know, but I understand him totally because I was there. You know,
right?
I didn't understand Barack Obama in the beginning either because he is such a prolific thinker. And this world is so complicated but what really brought me around was his accomplishments.
Right.
In spite of all the adversity, you know.
Right.
How do you accomplish what he's accomplished if you are not a strategically brilliant man? How do you do that? Especially being an African American, how do you do that in America? Because I'm an African American male, I know the difficulties that I face and the obstacles that are put before me.
Right.
And I can't even imagine the obstacles that are put before Barack Obama. But one thing I always have to go back to: what would this country be like if he hadn't been elected? You know,
right.
You know, I mean, what would we be? if McCain had become president. You know?
Right.
So you know, that alone, I'm grateful for him because in my mind, this country would be in flames.
Right.
This world, in my opinion, would be in total demise if it wasn't for Barack Obama. So
you know,
when I hear people saying that he's caving, they're missing the picture. You know, in my opinion. I'm just saying these. I always like to qualify my statements. These are just my opinions. That's all they are.
Well, you know, and that's the same with me, my opinions. And, you know, Brother Apple brings, like I say, he brings to the table, he does a tremendous amount of research, and he has a lot of facts at hand. And I can't disagree that all those instances that he brought up, the defeats of this, the defeats of that. Now, when it comes to the cause of those defeats, that the party wasn't as demonstrative as it should have been. It wasn't as assertive as it should have been. I can kind of see that, huh?
Yeah, in his opinion, and you know, but you know, I don't think you know the brother. In my opinion, he doesn't give any credence to the victories. I mean, you know, I can paint the picture in the way I want to paint the picture. It depends on what you focus on. He focused on the defeat. So the picture he's painting is a defeatist picture. But if you focus on Barack Obama's accomplishments, you're gonna paint a picture of a winner.
Right.
Because there are tremendous accomplishments. He has broken every record in the book, in my opinion. I mean, he's done things that white presidents haven't done. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, he does things that people thought were impossible. He did them. With ease.
You know, I tell you this, that you know, in defense of the president, and as you well stated, and I have, you know, the sites, I could pull up some sites and give some information about, you know, I think it was 244 different things that he had passed. But let me ask you this. This is what I really wanted to get to. Now, you know, I really appreciate you, and I really appreciate Alpha, because Alpha, like I say, he's a very passionate individual about his perspective on issues. Here is one of the strengths that I think that you have, and I really would like, if you don't mind, to expound on this, if you would. And what that is you are part, and this is what I see that's so much more necessary than so many other things, of developing structurally an entity that would be that would put a president such as the current president in a better position, as well as his support efforts, in a better position to be more assertive, to be more engaged. Engaging in discourse and to do it with a certain amount of confidence. Now, would you talk a little bit about the organization that you're a part of, what you see as a benefit, and how people could get involved with what you're doing, and why they should get involved with what you're doing, if you don't mind, Brother One in a Million?
Well, you know, I'm a community organizer with Organizing for America. That's Barack Obama's organization. That's the successor organization to Obama for America. We were called Obama for America during the campaign. And after the president got elected, he changed the name to Organizing for America. And I'm an organizer with them. And what we do is we do the legwork, so to speak. This is a phenomenal president. He's just different from any president that I've in my 57 years ever come across.
Right.
I mean, we've we're the direct link to him. I mean, really, we're the feet on the ground. In, for instance, recently we're working on a small business initiative where we're going around talking to small business owners and taking notes about what they need to be successful and relaying that back up the ladder to the president. I mean, this information gets to the president. He wants to know
right.
what the small businesses need. So this is a direct link to the president. I mean, what president makes themselves accessible like this
right.
president does?
Right.
This particular weekend, Saturday, we are holding three training sessions here locally, and I'm one of the trainers. And
right.
What we're doing is training people on how to tell their story.
Right.
Now, because telling stories motivate people, and telling stories communicates values through emotion, and emotion moves us to act. And that's the fuel that drives Barack Obama. If you listen to how he speaks, and everyone agrees that he's one of the greatest narrators of our time. I mean, he's
right.
one of the greatest speakers that we've ever known.
Hey,
and,
brother, one in a million. Hold that
yeah.
thought. I'm going to add another individual to the line right quick.
Okay.
Okay, hold that thought. 302, is this you? You hear me?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing? This is Sister Rabia Ahmed. Hey, one in a million. This is Upfront and Blunt.
All right. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Doing great today.
Hey, Sister Rabia, if you hold on, let Brother One in a Million finish his thought, I sure would appreciate it.
I'm here to listen. I'm listening. Sounds great.
Oh, thank you. Brother
Sounds
One in a Million,
great.
Go ahead. You were saying he was one of the greatest, you feel he was one of the greatest narrators of all time?
Yeah, and what we do is we train people to do what he do, what he does. Through telling stories, Barack Obama motivates people, arouses the emotion, and that emotion causes you to act. It makes you get up off the couch and do something, and that's the secret. People thought that they ran the most strategic campaign ever, but what that campaign was about, and the reason we were so successful, is because the first thing that we teach volunteers when they join this organization is we teach them how to tell their story.
Right.
Everyone has a compelling story to tell that will move people, and we got to teach people how to draw that story out, tell that story, and create leaders so that they can learn to draw their story out of other volunteers, and it just snowball. It has a snowball effect. So
you know,
go ahead.
No. What I was gonna say, and pardon me for the interruption, but you know, what I've been thinking about, and like I say, what I wanted to talk about tonight, but I'm so happy to have it because this is spontaneous. Whatever happens, and I'm just so glad to have you guys in here. But you know, you have what you know, I consider to be events, and then you have what I consider to be movements, and then you have what I consider to be a way of life or a belief system. Now, what's going on, in my opinion, in Wisconsin, it's an event, and it was promulgated as a result of a reaction to an election that people were misled to believe that these administrations that they've elected were on their side. Now, they conveniently call this all about unions. Those are citizens, those citizens have formed groups, which is somewhat similar to the group that you have, which is an organization. And this organization that they formed just happens to be a union, a means of disseminating information, a means of providing support and encouragement, and inspiration, as you've said, and instruction as to how to be more accurate, more articulate in providing a means and a method for people to be able to follow you methodically, so that they can, you know, have a more reasonable representation, rather than someone saying what you're saying. You know, the corporate media will take a picture of you, and then they'll talk about what they see you doing for the next 30 minutes. You'll never have a chance to respond, to correct them, or to add any of your ideas or theories or beliefs. They'll do it in about a couple minutes. You know, here you got 1 minute, 30 seconds. How do you solve all the world's problems? I mean, you know, whereas we have an opportunity on this show and some other shows like this for an hour and a half or more for you to more fully develop the process that you believe, the first your idea or your belief system, then how you go about employing that belief system. Because to my idea, it's essential. And what I've seen is that it's on display what the Republicans wanted. I mean, it's nothing hidden behind their back, nothing up their sleeve. Scott Walker just told you exactly what the Republicans want. They want to, what they want to do is deny citizens their civil right to be a part of an organization that will provide an opposition to corporations. Have unions, they call them monopolies, oligopoly, conglomerate. See, but you got people here, teachers, and those people have small resources. They have tiny little means of supporting themselves. They you know, they got like clothes to buy, food to put on the table. You know, they have to pay these gas prices to get their kids here and there, back and forth. And then you have these multi-billionaire or multi-millionaires who have more than enough, and nobody's asking them to give them anything except to give them an opportunity to collectively bargain, because the voting box is the means by which we represent our perspective. And it just so happened Wisconsin didn't really pay full attention to what Martin Luther King was talking about in 64 when he was talking about, quote-unquote, civil rights. It wasn't – people get this mixed up. They get it confused. Black civil rights. No, civil rights are for all citizens of the United States of America. And this is what you're seeing from the LGBT crowd, is they're saying we want our, quote-unquote, civil rights. Obama says, hey, these are human beings who deserve civil rights, each person. As is stated in, I believe, you know, the preamble to the Constitution, all men are created equal, which that's a gender thing. And so there should be no difference in the way that any man is treated. But then it's been addended or amended to include the other gender, which is females, or whichever, how many genders that there are these days. You know, and so what is provided is equality across the spectrum of citizens in the United States of America. David Koch, President Barack Obama, Scott Walker have one vote each. They have, though, the ability to influence other people by utilizing whatever the methods they have available to them. Koch just happens to have multi-millions of dollars that he can buy influence on networks. He can't buy my vote. Because I don't care. Yeah. He can talk. You know what I'm saying? He can talk till he's blue in the face. And I'm not interested in what he's got to say. He's not selling what I'm buying.
No, I know, but he might be able to buy some votes, though.
Huh?
He's able to buy votes.
He can't buy your vote. That's a misnomer. He can give you a reason that you might be able to. He can provide you. That's a caste system. The caste system suggests.
Well,
the people at the bottom don't have anything. The people at the top have all the money. Therefore, I should support the people at the top. I say no. He can't buy my vote.
Let me ask you this now.
Go ahead.
The last time you voted, when you left the poll, did you get a receipt?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Enough said. Think about that. Chew on that.
Mm-hmm. You know, nobody can buy your vote. They can influence you. But what they depend on is the way that people have been indoctrinated. They depend on that people. There are people that I grew up with here in Texas had the saying that says, don't get above your raising. You ever heard that before?
No.
Yeah. They got a saying down here that says, don't get above your raising. You know, America's all about getting above your raising. America's, you get out there and you put forth your best effort and you get rewarded. But what's happened is the conglomerates, the corporations, have become so concentrated with the wealth that they can literally, and people think, well, if I just go along with you, that you'll find favor in me. They didn't go along with Martin Luther King. They didn't join on because they weren't feeling uncomfortable. The air traffic controllers in the 80s didn't feel comfortable, you know, being with Martin Luther King. You know, oh, they got a problem. They, you know, until, and then what Ronald Reagan did was say, well, you know, what we need to do is those guys are trying to take your money by getting unemployment and getting welfare. And so we need to us get together and cut them off. Yeah, that's a good idea, Ronald. Now what happens is they elect Ronald Reagan and they elect the Republicans, and then what happens? The PAC layoff, and they are out of jobs. I can remember them selling furniture, cars, boats, houses in Dallas, Texas in the 80s. Now you turn right around and you say, well, George Bush, you know, because it's chic to be Republican. It's chic. You know, that's a belief system. Well, it's not so chic for the people in Wisconsin, and it's coming to an area near you. It's coming from Wisconsin, Ohio, where else is it? Florida, New Jersey.
Tennessee.
Tennessee. Tennessee. It's coming to an area, and it's not going to be this isolated situation. It's not going to be, well, you know, my brother's in the union. A person, I have to have a belief system that suggests to me that you are worthy, regardless to what your association, you know, if you're what your color is, what your religion is, what this or that is. You are a human being. You are a citizen of the same country necessarily that I'm a citizen of. Therefore, you are significant to me. And until I get that incorporated, every other thing is going to be an event. If that's not, I live this every day. And I know you do too, one in a million. And I know Rabia, and I know Chatologist. We live this. This is not, an event is not going to change because we live this every day. If it wasn't for that, Rabia wouldn't have opened Smart to Change. Single women, single mothers are really trying. Because she believes.
Is Rabia still on the line?
Yes.
I'd like to hear a woman's perspective.
No, we can't have that.
Oh no, he's right. This is America. We can't do that. I forgot we're in America.
Yeah,
women ain't
got
no
better. She knows better. She be running things to tell you the truth. Rabia, what's your perspective, please? And you know, however, from your organizational perspective, your personal perspective, your religious perspective, whichever, your gender perspective, how do you feel about it?
How do I feel about which
thing? About, I'm sorry.
Any of it.
Well, what I'm talking about is disenfranchisement. You work in law enforcement and you work in the prison system. And can I say this right quick? Can I say this, please? Let me just say this. People don't understand. They believe lock people up in prisons, right? You know, that's big. Lock people. And, you know, that judge, is he up there in Pennsylvania, Rabia, that judge that was locking people, those kids up?
Well, we have several of them.
You know, but anyway, you know, these people believe in lock people up. Now I'm going to show you something. Illegal immigration has been going on ever since before I was born, and I'm 59. Illegal immigration decreased wages, if that makes sense. I know, I'm sure, I hope it does. Outsourcing decreased wages and caused jobs to be lost. Now I'm going to show you something. In the little town that I grew up in, Rabia, you got your, can you, will you turn your speakers down a little bit?
Turn my speakers down?
Yeah, on your computer or whatever. But is that, I don't think that's Brother One in a Million. But anyway, the little town I grew up in, they used to have the county guys that worked, because my stepdad worked for the county. And they would cut the grass. They would take care of this, that, and the other. They would, you know, do the work in the schools. And people were hired to do this. As time went along, you would see more guys in all white clothes, prisoners, doing this. So what that
mm-hmm.
did was that did not, huh?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That denied the private sector the opportunity to have those jobs. Now, what else they're doing is prisoners, I know for a fact, because Mike's wife, one of his sons, had some problems, and he was building starters for cars. In the little town that I came from, they built furniture for the state. Prior to that, those negotiations were made through the private sector provided the furniture for the state and so forth. Show you what happens. People are using tax money to support the prison system, and the prisoners are taking their jobs, which decreases, it puts people out of work, which puts an overload on the people who still have jobs. And then when the prisoners get out, they can't get the jobs that they were doing in prison. So they're getting paid little or nothing. The taxpayers are supporting the prison, and the prisoners are competing with the taxpayers for employment. Now, I'm sorry, but Sister Rabia, you understand what I'm saying? And it's breaking up
mm-hmm.
families. And you deal with the broken families, am I correct?
Absolutely.
As well as the young men that are locked up. So your perspective, please.
Well, one of the big problems is that we talk about the children being locked up. And I understand everybody makes errors and bad choices and bad decisions, but one of the things that we need to do in and out of the institutions, and we talked about this before, was allowing people or showing people or teaching people how to change their way of thinking. And when you go to these institutions, I've noticed that they're younger and younger now coming in. When I first started out at that prison 5 years ago, I don't think there was anyone there under 30. And in the last 2 years, we're getting 21, 20, 22 years old, and there's no rehabilitation. So they're just coming into the prison because of this budget cut. A lot of programs are being cut. And as a result of these programs, the drug and alcohol programs, the violence prevention, the batters program throughout the prison is being cut. I can see it getting a little worse before it gets better as far as the rehabilitation for the offenders. And there's not enough support. There's not enough halfway houses. They're committing more crimes because they're bringing more drugs in. The families are broken up, which is a pretty big a really big part of the breakdown of the families, because the men aren't there, and the men are supposed to be the maintainers and the protectors of the women, but they're not out there. So who's protecting the women?
Mm-hmm.
It's either other women,
mm-hmm.
you know, or somebody who has no morals and no values, and they're selling drugs and robbing and stealing too. You know, it's very, very sad. I could go on and on and on about.
But what does your program do?
SMART Incorporated provides services to women and the children. Drug and alcohol, abuse, teaching them coping skills, life skills, and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
We're opening up a treatment facility.
Wow, congratulations, congratulations.
Thank you.
And best of success.
Thank you. And the actually, that's where I was late. I was trying to get on at 8 o'clock.
Oh, no problem.
Went to this meeting
right.
with some city officials to, you know, to talk about, you know, SMART and how we're going to change the city of Chester. You know, well, we got to change people's ways of thinking. We got to change. We got to get these children to go into some type of treatment with their mothers, since they were with their mothers while they were using drugs and being beat up and robbing and stealing. So I thought it'd be a good idea that the children go be with their mother. One of the stipulations of the program is that you have to have your children with you.
Right.
So while you're getting treatment, so are the children.
Mm-hmm. It's a holistic approach. You
mm,
know, and again, it you know, I had a whole thing about belief system that, you know, and to me, that's what's happened is that our belief system is tremendously essential providing us a direction and providing us an opportunity to rebuild. And you were saying a word, rehabilitate.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is in conflict, and I hate to be really abusive to politically abusive, but when you're dealing with Republicans don't really kind of care about a person. And so, am I saying that correctly? The rehabilitation thing is not important. You have, to me, two opportunities in prison: punitive and rehabilitative. And we understand prison denial of freedom, denial of access, and some people actually, I'm sure, don't deserve to have any opportunity to be associated with anybody, for a fact. And those people, I think, should be specially segregated. And those people who you want to reintegrate into society should have some type of training and some type of an approach that would change their belief system, as well as we as a general public need to have our belief system changed to the extent that we want to see some rehabilitation, because we want to see the children being raised by responsible and confident and comfortable individuals. And a lot of times people make mistakes for, like you say, a lot of different reasons. They could have been young. They could have been.
Can I interject something?
Please.
You know, I totally agree with everything you all are saying. I mean, totally. And I'm very passionate about what you all are saying. But I think it's one thing, there's an element that we forget about that I think is crucial to the rehabilitation of our incarcerated and the motivation of our young people. I think there's an element that we're missing. And that element, in my opinion, is the positives that we as African Americans have in our lives. You know, I think we've got to add that even though the numbers that y'all speak about are true, you know, but we look at the majority of African Americans are not criminals, and I think that needs to be said. I think
true.
Because it helps the incarcerated to hear that we are a positive, special people. It makes them not want to be part of that negative crowd when they have that pride and they walk with pride that know that African Americans are very special people. The majority of us go to college. The majority of us are not unwed mothers. The majority of us are not, the teenage girls are not getting pregnant as teenagers. You know, in all of the accomplishments that African Americans have made in this 200 years that we've been out of slavery, that has to be talked about so that it builds pride, and then the young people won't want to engage
right.
in negative activity because
right.
they'll have a sense, because it happens in our family. You know, when you talk about tell the young kids about all of the accomplishments of your family members and you put on the wall your diplomas where you graduated from college, guess what happens? Those young people want to graduate from college because they know that that's what our family do.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't talk about the accomplishments of mm-hmm. our people enough.
Right.
I'm not saying don't focus. We should help those that are falling behind, but at least give some equal airtime to the positives that we have achieved. We are a phenomenal people, and we need to talk about it.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. You know, no, we're no. My point is, and people are threatened when they hear you speak like that to say we are a phenomenal people, and which we are a phenomenal people. And you know, my daughter was telling me about her class today, as a matter of fact, and she was talking about there was an article that one of her supervisors had given her that was talking about thugs. No, it was in a newspaper. It was in the newspaper, an article about thugs and how they look, how they dress, and, you know, pretty much putting down, quote-unquote, thugs, right? And she was kind of, feeling kind of strange about the way that article portrayed thugs. And what I suggested to her was, baby girl, listen. I said, did you hear about that judge that sentenced, I think, Rabia, do you know what I'm talking about? Was it 6,000 kids that he sentenced to these prisons and got a $2.5 million kickback?
It was a large number. I don't recall what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a large number.
You know, so how can a kid, one person, look more like a thug than a judge? Who had a terribly horrendous impact on 6,000 other people, and you multiply that by all the crazy judges and law enforcement officers. Like, they eight guys kicked a 15-year-old kid almost unconscious in Houston, Texas. Eight policemen, and you know they want to talk about what a thug looks like. You know what I'm saying? This kid, this boy out here in Arizona, that shot and killed a 9-year-old girl, shot a congresswoman in the head, and they want to talk about what a thug looks like?
That's
know?
Right, because a thug isn't white. Even to black people, he's not white. We've bought into that narrative too. I mean, but see, people have to be smart enough to read through the code words, because
right.
You know, my neighbor across the street is a Republican,
right?
But she cringes to think that she's got some liberal views. But deep down inside, the word liberal to white people is a code word for nigger lover,
right?
You know, that's,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You know, when the
exactly.
people when you hear people use the word poor in the media, they talking about that's the perception of in people's mind. You said poor
right.
people. Everybody, I mean, black people see black people. White people see black people. I mean, the code words, you know, and
right.
that's how the elite have been able to manipulate the whole society
right.
and rip this country off.
Right, right. You know, you're saying, and Sister Rabia, you jump in here whenever you feel like it, but you know, this is what I was talking about, the belief system. The belief system that people, let me just read you this part that I got here. I'm determined to get this in here. It says, a belief system provides a core set of values on which we base everything we do, say, or believe. We can classify our values as a set of rules that define how we process and store information as it comes in through our conscious mind. Our conscious mind takes these rules and shaves off the sides, planes the ends, and polishes the exterior to make it easier to process and store in our subconscious. The subconscious then takes this processed piece of information and, according to our rules, associates it with other information that we classify as solid and accurate. During this association, we begin to understand the new information and are better able to assimilate it for future reference. What I'm saying is that a belief system was formed years ago. The belief is that, you know, if you're inferior, if you are of African descent, and you are suspect, subject to tremendous scrutiny and skepticism. Hence, if you'll notice how these guys capitalize on things such as the birther movement, you know, this guy's just too good to be true. He wasn't born in the United States. Or the Muslim. Oh, this guy's just too good to be true. He must be a Muslim. It's because it feeds into people's belief system. Now, can a person reconstruct their belief system to the extent that the people in Wisconsin can understand what the Civil Rights Movement was about in 64 and understand that it was not about black civil rights? It was about citizens' civil rights. Not about unions, but about citizens, the people that go and vote. And these people are struggling right now because their jobs have been outsourced, and this guy is threatening. Big Mr. Bully Man, who got punked on a telephone call, is threatening, like, I'm going to lay you off. I mean, you know, and he's talking to a multimillionaire about little, tiny, ordinary, everyday citizen people. I mean, this is the most sad and pathetic display of atrocious and malicious, demonic and diabolical behavior that I can see. And you know, the media won't touch it because the media is in that the corporate media is involved and engaged with these guys. These guys pay the commercials. Without the commercials, the media suffers. These guys, like, I won't call name, but they wouldn't have the $700 million contracts without these big corporate guys. The only tool that the little person has is to organize and come with numbers. They have no other tools available. This guy, Scott Walker, wants to strip those tools from you. You know? I mean, not only do I want you not to have a job, I don't even want you to be able to represent yourself. I mean, this is really, really sad. But this is the Republican narrative, and it's going to be repeated time and time again. They tried it with Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan screwed them. They tried it with George Bush. George Bush screwed them. Now they tried it with this. You know, they say, well, if Obama doesn't have to feed me, you know, with a spoon. I know who to vote for and who not to vote for, you know.
Well, and I, you know, whenever you mention voting, it just I cringe. I cringe because black guys, I'm talking, this is so important. This is so
right.
Important, and I can't get people to get it.
Right.
The voting system is tainted. It's rigged. Think about it. Now, don't get me wrong. I vote.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you got to keep working at it. But
right.
When I looked into the system, and I'm insulted that I can't get a receipt. Think of,
mm-hmm.
you know,
oh,
you can
okay.
look around you can look around in your car, and I bet you got 10
yeah.
receipts laying around
mm-hmm.
in the car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
the technology exists.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do in order to get a receipt at the polling place is connect a printer
mm-hmm.
to the voting machine. The voting machine is only a computer.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is take a USB port and connect a printer to the voting machine, and you can get a receipt. It's that simple. So so if they won't give us a receipt, there's a reason why not. There's a reason. Something as important as a vote. They won't give us a receipt. If we as citizens don't demand that they give us a receipt, we are missing. We are missing the boat somewhere. Something is wrong with us.
So you're saying that when we go to vote, that we should ask for a receipt?
We should demand a receipt. We've got to change the laws because think about this. When I vote and they give me this little dadgum sticker that say I voted today, I'm just woo. It burns me up. Did they give you one of them little stickers to say I voted today?
Yeah.
I didn't get one.
I mean, because it's all psychological. They want you to get something in your hand. You know, they want you to get something in your hand so you can feel like you've got something.
Well, to them, they might feel like this is your receipt.
but if we fall for the okey-doke, we dumb because we know that's not a receipt.
Hey, you think that's bad? I'm gonna throw this in there, but then I want to do this. I want to do this right here because I got like 14 minutes left. But I want to throw this in there. That now I understand Wisconsin is trying to come up with an ID, voter ID, kind of like the poll tax, and as are some other states considering that you have to present some type, which will make it a little bit more difficult. This is where the organizations like ACORN could have been essential in providing people with information in regard to how to traverse these difficult obstacles that they're going to be trying to place in front of people to discourage them, a citizen, from becoming involved in the voting process. But let me do this right quick. Brother One in a Million and Sister Rabia, before, I want Sister Rabia, please, I want, and you know you're welcome to come back. As a matter of fact, I implore you to come back. But I want you to talk a little bit about and go as far as you want to go, but save Brother One in a Million some time to talk about his organization. But would you please talk about your organization? How can we help you? Where can we find you? And that kind of thing, if you don't mind.
I'm so talked out from tonight. It's a gentleman running in Pennsylvania for county council.
Right.
And I just started assisting him. Me and one of my partners just started assisting him with his campaign. So I'm learning a lot of stuff about it. But I went into it because I know that when you're starting an organization, it is good to have a politician behind you.
Right.
Especially when you're starting in the beginning because of the services that we provide.
Right.
You know, and him coming in on the beginning of it is a very good idea, you know, to see, you know, see it from the beginning.
Right.
Oh, thank you. Wait a minute, I'm on the phone. One of the things that I do love about Smart, and I'm glad that I'm starting to get a little bit more familiar with the political realm is that, you know, that they're the ones who really push your program, you know, and to get support from them is really, really good, you know, because they deal with more of the people than I do, and they know of the services that are needed in those particular areas. So everyone that I've spoken with said, you know, wow, we really do need a center or a halfway house or whatever you want to call a treatment center for women and children. So I'm pretty excited about that, Brother One in a Million. We have a website that's that you can visit anytime, www.smart. 2 change, smart number 2 and the word change .org. So if you want to.
Smart the number 2.
Change. Smart to change.
.org. .org. I got it.
Okay, so you know, visit their website anytime you like. Post a comment. But that's what we do. You know, I love it. I just love the fact of helping the women, because there's so many men that are incarcerated. You know, the women are left out there by themselves. So that's one of the things that I really like about the program is the programs and the assistance that we provide for the women and for the children.
All right.
Excelente. Thank you, lovely lady.
You're welcome.
And Miss Quiet Storm is in the chat room, and I told her, please call. I didn't see her until just now, so wrapped up in this other conversation, but I would like to schedule her, and she's also about that. I wish y'all both could be on at the same time, or... Y'all need to get together, you and Miss Quiet Storm.
Where Quiet Storm at? I didn't know she was on.
She's in the chat room. Sure is. I wish you would call. I know she's not going to call, but Quiet Storm, Miss Quiet Storm, I sure wish she would call so you could hear her voice. But let me let Brother One in a Million, would you tell me a little bit about your organization, please, sir? And hopefully Miss Quiet Storm will call just quick, but she can come back anytime, and y'all know that. Y'all know you're welcome, right, to come back, so please do anytime.
Okay.
Go right ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we are organizing for America.
Right.
And that's Barack Obama's baby. Mm-hmm. You can visit our site at my.barackobama.com. That's my.barackobama.com.
BarackObama.com. Okay.
My.BarackObama.com. And on that site, you can get involved. You can see what we're about. You can find an event in your area and see what's going on in the area you live in. Just type in your zip code, and it'll tell you all the activities we have going on in your neighborhood. We are a national organization all across America. This is a direct link to the president. I was involved with Organizing for America 1 month and was on a conference call with the president. Been on a conference call with the first lady. So, the Professor Marshall Gantz, he's a professor at MIT. He's one of the brains of the Obama's campaign, and he says that to be a community organizer offers more opportunity than an investment banker. So if a person wanted to get involved and become a community organizer, there's great opportunity through this organization, and it's phenomenal. Just go to that site and take a look, and I think you'll be very impressed.
Okay.
Hey, that's great. And you know, Sister B, you know, y'all, this is open. Brother Alpha posted in the chat room that Friday at 11 Eastern Standard, which would be 10, dang it, I always get that wrong. 10, no, nah, it can't be. Well, he says 11 Eastern Standard Time, so I'm going to just put it like that. And he's going to be hosting Sister India Declare's show. And don't know what he's got prepared, but I guarantee you it'll be worth you listening in to.
That'll be
on Blog Talk Radio. Just come to Blog Talk Radio, type it in the search block, India Declare Show. Or you'll see it at 11 Eastern Standard Time, and you'll see her, what do you call that thing, trademark, signature thing. It'll be I can't remember, but just come there in the Blog Talk Radio. Type in India IndiaDeclair.com, and India Declare, and it'll get you to her show. Come to Blog Talk Radio. Type in India DECLAIR. And Brother Alpha is going to be hosting, and I won't be there. It's 10 Central Standard Time. I thought that's right. And I would love to be there, but I got to work tomorrow. So, and I know it's going to be off the chain. So off the chizane. So I just hope y'all get a chance to join in. And
I'll be at
so
work.
Much appreciate y'all. Wait. Here's who is this on? Whoa, did I hang up?
I'm pulling up Organizing America.
Yeah, you went to mind.barackobama.com.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on,
yeah,
y'all. I got 510 here right quick. Who is that 510?
This is Miss Quiet Storm. Good evening, everybody. How are you?
Miss Quiet Storm.
Hey, Quiet.
Hi, I wasn't gonna call in. I had typed in the chat room. I said I finally got my mental writing pen back, and so I was getting my hair done earlier under the dryer with my laptop because I was like, oh, you know, you better write whenever it hits you. I'm trying to get this book completed, but
congratulations!
Thank you. I said, oh, my writing pen is back. I had a writer's block for a good couple of months, so. I'm just glad it's back.
Hey, give me your show times, please, lovely lady.
Every Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
9 a.m.
Here on Blog Talk Radio. blogtalkradio.com/MissQuietStorm. This week's show is our Domestic Violence Week, so we'll talk about domestic violence on Shooting the Breeze. We'll be on. And we will be discussing teen dating violence this week. So.
Wow, teen dating violence.
Yes.
Wow, that sounds great. Excellent.
Thank you.
And I got to thank you for letting me be on your show. I enjoyed myself so much.
Anytime.
And can I schedule y'all one of these days? Would you please consider that?
I definitely will. Just let me know.
Okay, and I think you and Sister Rabia would be one heck of a, and brother, One in a Million, that would be an excellent show because I mean it would just be too much information. I mean, not too much, but a lot of information as far as the anywhere from how you select a partner to what you look for, how long, and what.
Okay. Oh, go ahead. I'm just like, I just get jumpy when people start talking relationship shows. My nerves go.
But anyway, and then you know the other aspects of the well, see, Sister Rabia could talk about what happens if you get into a bad situation for the guy. From the guy's perspective, he ends up in a lot of trouble, or the lady's perspective, she ends up in some trouble. And then the rehabilitative aspects, which is what she's a part of. You're part of all aspects of it, anywhere from initiating a relationship to determining. And this is one thing that I just love that you do is looking at the different things that people need to look at when they consider getting involved. And that was beautiful. I just appreciated
Thank
that.
You.
Can I say it's 28? I got a couple minutes probably. But can I just say thank you, guys? I want to say
thank
Ted
you.
Ologist was in the room, and I always want to tell her thank you so much for being in the room. And this guy got 90 seconds. But anyway, Ted Ologist, thank you. One in a Million, thank you. Sister Rabia, thank you so much. Miss Quiet Storm, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. But can I extend a very, very quick invitation? And I promise I will be very quick.
Please.
It has been placed on my heart to do a series of shows for the month of April addressing issues in the Black community. It's going to be a series called Healing the Black Community. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about a lot of the issues that are plaguing our Black community. Mm-hmm. I'm putting together a panel of people to talk about gang violence. We're going to talk about domestic violence. We're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about the different things that we could just share, bring awareness to kind of brainstorm and hopefully be able to find some ways where we can heal as the Black community so starting with us as individuals, then our families, then our communities, and then eventually we can affect our country and our world. So I will be I'm working on that series of shows. It's still kind of in the brainstorming stage, and I'm reaching out to people. So I will keep you guys posted on that, but you guys are more than welcome to participate in that.
I sure appreciate it. Let me, in 10 seconds, the next phase with Ice and Friends on Thursday, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Thank you, Ms. Quiet Storm, and I'm looking forward to that. And I will be, give me the information, and I'll be putting it on, if you don't mind. And please join us every Thursday. Brother One in a Million, appreciate you. And Brother Alpha, catch him tomorrow on Sister Indy Declare show tomorrow at 11 Eastern Standard and 10 Central Standard, the India Declare show. Ms. Quietstorm, thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
And Brother One in a Million, Ms. Rabia, and Chatologist, thank you guys. Appreciate you. And we're gonna get out of here. See y'all.
All right. Take care, man.
Sister Quietstorm, may I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
Do you mind if I copy this number here? Is that a contact number?
Oh, yeah. That's you should have that.
Thank you, and I will, if you don't mind, I'll be, I'll get, do you mind contacting you?
Not at all.
Thank you so much. You got mine, I think. I told you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, God bless y'all, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And you're welcome every time and any time.
Thank you.
All right.
Have
God bless.
Have a good evening, everyone.
We'll talk to you later.
All right.
All right. Take care, One in a Million. Talk to you later.
Right,
thank
bye-bye.
You, sir.
Bye-bye.
Come back anytime. All right. Bye-bye. The next phase with Ice and Friends, thank you guys for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m., and we really appreciate you. May God be with you until we meet again.